Good to be with you again this evening. Take your Bible with me and turn to Ezekiel chapter 12 again. Ezekiel chapter 12, Lord willing, we will be finishing this chapter together this evening. Before we read, again, just a little bit of review. I've come here to a section in Ezekiel, where the Lord has had Ezekiel do many things. Ezekiel is a prophet of judgment. Chapters 1 to 3, where Ezekiel is called in ministry. And we saw Ezekiel do various things in chapters 4 to 7 in obedience to the Lord to show the certainty of coming judgment. Chapters 8 to 11, we saw the Lord take Ezekiel in a vision and bring him to Jerusalem for him to see there all the temple idolatry, the reason why the judgment must come. And last week we began chapter number 12. And as we began, we see here that again Ezekiel's message continues to be one of judgment. But now this is a prophecy, a message of coming judgment for the wicked confidence that God's people, the Israelites, had been displaying. They have convinced themselves that God is not going to ultimately punish them. Jerusalem will not fall. Now, for us, we ask the question, well, why would they think this? Nothing about what God has said should cause them to have any confidence that judgment isn't going to come, but they are extremely confident that it's not going to come. And tonight and in the coming weeks, we're going to see as Ezekiel goes on and the Lord goes on speaking to Ezekiel, there are really three different ways in which the people, why they're confident. Obviously, the main reason why they're confident is their own rebellious heart. They have rejected God's word, so why would they listen to them? But not just simply their hearts, but there's other things that are feeding into their rebellious hearts. Tonight, we'll see certain false proverbs that were common among the people. And we'll see the false prophets and false prophetesses. All of these things are feeding into that rebellious heart that the people have. So tonight, let's begin by reading here in our passage of Scripture, starting in verse number 17, and see these false proverbs that are causing the Israelites to have this wicked confidence. Start in verse number 17. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, eat your bread with quaking, and drink water with trembling and with anxiety. And say to the people of the land, Thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the land of Israel. They will eat their bread with anxiety and drink water in dismay. In this way, her land will be stripped of all its contents on account of the violence of all those who dwell in it. And the inhabited cities shall be laid waste, and the land shall become a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have among the children of among the land of Israel, saying, The days grow long, and every vision has come to nothing? Tell them, therefore, Thus says the Lord God, I will put an end to this proverb, and they shall use it no more as a proverb in Israel. But say to them, The days are near, the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak the word that I will speak, and it will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, but in your days, O rebellious house, I will speak the word and perform it, declares the Lord God. And of the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, The vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of times far off. Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord God, None of my words will be delayed any longer, but the word that I speak will be performed, declares the Lord God. We just read in our passage of Scripture two proverbs that were going around the children of Israel, particularly those in the exile, that they were placing their trust in. Proverbs are short sayings, short pithy sayings oftentimes, and they can be very helpful. Obviously, we know this. The whole book of the Bible is devoted to this genre of literature. and they are good to use. However, these kind of sayings, like any kind of literature, can also be used for evil as well. It's not just the proverbs of the day of the exiles, there by the Kabar Canal, but even today there are many different proverbs that even we have. You may have seen some of these recently, even on social media, or heard somebody say some of these proverbs that are quick sayings, but yet just like the sayings in our passage, they're false. So the first one, God will never give you more than you can handle. Hear this all of the time. Another one, there's different variations of it. God is a gentleman and would never force his way into the heart of a person. But this one, we are all God's children. But this one, God helps those who help themselves. And even finally, when we saw, it's absolutely not true from even our passage this morning, God wants me to be happy. Now, each one of these things that I just mentioned are different kinds of sayings or proverbs that you no doubt have heard many people proclaim, and maybe even at one time in your own life, you believe them. But yet the problem with each and every one of these is that they're short sayings, and they may give somebody some sort of glimmer of hope, but it's a false hope because it is a false saying. In fact, maybe even this evening, some of us are thinking, wait, that one wasn't true? Well, it's just a reminder to us that we are all prone to fall for these false proverbs. These short sayings that rather than telling us the truth about who God is and who we are and the truth of God's word, rather they call God and his word into question. And like those who are exiled here by the Kabar Canal with Ezekiel, people take these false proverbs, just like they did in Ezekiel's day, and they use them to bolster themselves with some sort of false confidence about their standing before the Lord. In fact, even some of these false proverbs, there are more that I could mention, and even the ones that are in our passage tonight, they're often used by unbelievers to ridicule God's word, to even call into question the truthfulness of God's word. This is what the people at the Kabar Canal, these exiles, were doing. Ezekiel has had this message of judgment to bring to them, yet in their rebellious hearts, they will not listen to it, and they come up with some other way to dismiss God's words. The reality is that unregenerate people will always ridicule the veracity of the truth of God's word. But even as they do it, God's people must continue to proclaim its truth until its fulfillment. This is what Ezekiel was called to do as a messenger of the Lord, and is what we also are called to do if you are a believer here this evening. Jesus told his disciples, among them us, that he is going away in the Great Commission. He told them that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And he told his disciples that he was coming back. There are those who ridicule God's people for believing that truth, that Jesus is going to come back, but how long do we do this proclamation? Until he does. But yet, just as Ezekiel lived in a fallen world, we live in a fallen world as well. As we look at this passage of scripture this evening, I want us to consider three truths about our world. And as we consider these three truths, I pray that it will encourage the hearts of those who are God's people to continue to proclaim God's truth. And this evening, if you are here and you're not one of God's children, that God would use this passage of scripture to show you the error of your way, and that you would repent and believe the truthfulness of God's word. But tonight, as we consider our need to proclaim the truth of God's word, even when it's ridiculed by others, first thing that I want us to consider as we do this proclamation, just as Ezekiel did, that we need to remember one day everyone will fear God's word. This is where Ezekiel, we see in our passage as he starts, Ezekiel is given another command by the Lord in verses 17 and 18, where the Lord tells Ezekiel to do something else that for us seems odd. He is to eat his bread with fear and trembling. Ezekiel is to continue to do what he has been doing since he experienced that vision of God's glory in chapters 1 to 3. He continues to obey the Lord of glory. The Lord had, Ezekiel had seen the Lord's glory there in chapters 1 to 3. And again, he had seen the Lord's glory in the vision in chapters 8 through 11. In all of this, Ezekiel's sight of God's glory drives him to fear the Lord, and that fear of the Lord evidences itself in his obedience to the Lord. We read in our passage here this evening that Ezekiel is to go and to eat his bread with trembling and anxiety. This is not the only example of Ezekiel in doing something that the people would look at him, as we saw in verse number 9, at the end of the verse. Israel, the rebellious house, says to Ezekiel, "What are you doing?" No doubt, even for them, there is a certain amount of this is just another thing piled up upon another thing, where Ezekiel is doing something that in their eyes is strange. Remember what we've seen already, what the Lord has told Ezekiel to do and his obedience. Chapter 4, the Lord says, "Ezekiel, I want you to go play army and enact a siege against the city of Jerusalem. Set up little armies and act it out so everybody can see." In chapter 4, the Lord also told Ezekiel, "I want you to make some terrible, disgusting bread that's supposed to picture what the siege of Jerusalem is going to be like. And I want you to cook this bread and cook it over dung and then eat it." Chapter 5, the Lord tells Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, cut off your beard and weigh out your hair and divide it into three equal parts." Chapter 6, the Lord had told Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, turn and don't preach to the people anymore. Turn and look at the mountains and preach at them." And even as you saw last week at the beginning of chapter 12, the Lord tells Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, pack your bags and pretend you are an exile going out in the sight of all of the people." In each one of these things, Ezekiel is showing honor to the Lord of glory. Ezekiel is living his life out in the fear of the Lord. Ezekiel, because he has seen God's glory, knows that when God tells him to do something, there is only one thing to do, and that is to obey. And yet, even as he obeys, those around him ridicule him for it. And they ridicule him for it because they are blind. You see, they have not seen God's glory as Ezekiel has. So for them, they see no reason to obey the Lord. They've refused to do so for quite some time. Ezekiel is not the only one we see in God's word who is ridiculed and rejected by the world around him because he seeks to obey what God has said. Many other prophets have done this and will continue to do this. And the true and final prophet, Jesus Christ, would do the same. See, even Jesus Christ was ridiculed for his obedience. Consider as Jesus even dies on the cross in obedience to his heavenly Father, the ridicule that he faced as those who passed by him hanging on the cross derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself, come down from the cross." Also, the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself." To be one who follows the Lord, to be one who continually proclaims God's truth, is one who recognizes that they will live out every day the same way that their Savior did. And they will not do it in their own strength, but in, as we sang this evening, the strength that God supplies through our Savior.
But there's hope,
not just simply that God will do, not just simply that we can obey the Lord in Christ, though we can. But the hope this evening for a believer is that one day everyone will fear God's word. Even for Ezekiel here in our passage, as he eats his bread with quaking, the Lord goes on to tell him, say to the people of Israel, there in verse 19, say to the people of Israel, thus says the Lord God concerning the inhabitants of the land in Jerusalem. They shall eat their bread with anxiety and drink their water in dismay. The Lord tells Ezekiel, just as you are living in fear of me now, someday all these people who are ridiculing you, they will live in fear of my judgment as well. See, one day everyone will acknowledge the truth of God's word. One day everyone will bow the knee to God's word and his son. The exiles who mocked Ezekiel in his acting out of the fearfulness of the people of Jerusalem when the destruction does come, these exiles who are mocking Ezekiel now will, in a short matter of months, see a remnant from Jerusalem even pass through their midst, doing the very thing that Ezekiel is acting out. For Ezekiel, even as he would do this and act this out and tell the people the truth that is here, there must have also been part of him that took courage in all of this. See, so far in his entire ministry, there is nothing but mocking of Ezekiel. But yet Ezekiel would come to live and to see that God's word would be vindicated. And he, as a servant of God's word, would be vindicated as well. We should read this passage tonight, and if you are one of God's children who is facing this same kind of ridicule, we ought to read this passage and even know as we go through Ezekiel that what God said, he actually accomplished. We can look back on it, and we can take heart of this. We can continue that though everyone mocks us for believing what God has said, one day they will mock no longer. They will know, as the song says, that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Even tonight, as we sang together, the Bible stands like a rock undaunted. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. See, for God's people this evening, that should give us hope today. It should give us courage today that regardless of what somebody else says, God always keeps his word. There is not a word that the Lord speaks that is difficult for him to make happen. Do you have this kind of confidence this evening? Again, it's not just simply a confidence that we see with Ezekiel, but the Lord makes these kind of statements. I will do what I say I'm going to do. He makes these kind of statements throughout his word. Consider other places in God's word. When the Lord speaks to Abraham, the Lord God said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Is anything, or is any word you could put in there, too hard for the Lord? And the Lord answers, no. Even for the prophets, a contemporary of Jeremiah, of Ezekiel, Jeremiah, the Lord would come to Jeremiah as he is preaching the same message of destruction that the people are rejecting. The Lord comes to Jeremiah and it says in Jeremiah 32, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am giving this city into the hands of the Chaldeans and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall capture it. And the Lord tells Jeremiah, is any word that I speak too hard for me to perform? And again, the Lord says, no, it is not. We move into the New Testament. Even as the Lord is speaking with Mary, he says to him, behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son, and is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Same wording. No word that I give will be impossible. So when Mary asks, how can this be? God says, it will be because I said it will be. Even when it comes to us who are sinners, being able to sing and declare together that we have eternal life. Why can we do this? Remember what Jesus said to his disciples. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When God speaks, there is nothing that can stop his word from being fulfilled. God always does what he says he will do. Does that give you hope this evening, believer? Does the reality that one day everyone will fear God's word, does that give you hope as you go to work tomorrow? As you deal with unsaved friends and relatives, as you deal with unsaved classmates, and you can feel, maybe even in a small way, like Ezekiel, where they look at you and they ridicule you. It can be tempting for us to think, maybe God's not going to keep his word. Maybe the sin that everybody around me is involved in, maybe it's not that bad. To remember that there will come a day that God will keep his word concerning that sin. And not just simply concerning the sin, but if you are his child, concerning his protection of you. So if we of God's people are to continue to proclaim the truth of God's word until its fulfillment, we need to remember that one day, and take comfort in the fact and confidence in the fact that one day everyone will fear the Lord. But until that day, we know that today people will reject God's word as nonsense. This is not something that should surprise us. And it's not something that we should be afraid of. It's just simply part of living in a fallen world that is rebelling against its creator. We see this even with Ezekiel as he here is preaching God's word to the children of Israel in exile. Yet at the very beginning, we see them as the Lord goes to Ezekiel and he says, son of man, what is this proverb that you there is? It's plural. He's talking about all the people that are there in the exile. That you have about the land of Israel, saying, the days grow long and every vision comes to nothing. What they're saying here is that there's this saying going around all of the people that, yes, the days grow long. And the saying, what saying? Well, the sayings of judgment, of Ezekiel, of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, of all the prophets that came before them. These prophets who have been proclaiming God's judgment on Jerusalem. What this proverb is saying, they keep saying this, but nothing happens. This is a saying that was giving the people a false kind of confidence. The days continue to go on and nothing happens. We don't truly need to fear God. See, with this short saying, what they are doing is they are impugning the character of God. This common proverb that everybody was saying and just assuming to be true, this is what proverbs are. This common proverb was taking God's patience and trying to turn it into and say that God was impotent. Nothing could be further from the truth. These people were calling into question God's ability to keep his word. Not just ability to keep his word, but God's even desire to speak the truth to them. Now, even as I say that, there may have been those in the exile who would have said, no, we're not really saying that about God himself. We're not saying that about God's word. But what we are saying it about is we're saying it about the messengers, or those who are calling themselves God's messengers. See, the people would not just simply call into question God's word, and God's word had been very clear. If they did not follow after the Lord, he would punish them and send them into exile. But yet in their arrogance, as they impugn God's character, they do the same with God's messengers. See, it seems here that the people are using the fact that Ezekiel and Jeremiah's prophecy about coming judgment, because it has not been fulfilled, in their minds, this turned what they were saying into falsehood. They weren't just calling God into question, but they were calling God's prophets into question. See, for over 170 years, prophets have been calling for the destruction and saying the destruction of Jerusalem is coming. But even as they were saying that, some who were even living at the time would have even turned to a passage like Deuteronomy and used God's words sinfully in their own arrogance, where God said, if you say in your heart, how may we know that the word that the Lord has not spoken? It says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him. They would have used phrases and passages like this to say, see, we don't need to be afraid of what Ezekiel says. We don't need to be afraid of what Jeremiah says. They're just saying the same thing that another prophet that we know about who lived 170 years earlier, Amos, had been saying the same thing. Amos had said, thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not revoke the punishment because they have rejected the law of the Lord and have not kept his statutes. But their lives have led them astray, those which after their fathers walked. So I will send fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the strongholds of Jerusalem. See, what the people are in essence saying, we've been hearing this for 170 years, Ezekiel. We've been hearing this for 170 years, Jeremiah. This is what we truly think about it. You talk and you talk and you talk, but yet we see nothing to back it up. Therefore, we reject your message. People often use these kind of false proverbs to turn and, rather than be submissive to God's word, they come up with a proverb that puts them over God's words. Again, it's not just Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Amos who felt this. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, the true prophet, also had people use proverbs against him. Consider, as Luke records for us in Luke 4, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, it says he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and all the eyes of the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What you have heard, we have heard what you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own town. But you see what the people of Israel continue to do, not just with Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, but with our Lord himself. They come up with a proverb that puts them over God's messengers. What a blasphemous thing, as Pastor talked about this morning, for someone to go to God and say, no, this is the way you should act. These people from Jesus' hometown say, well, you did those things other places. For us to believe you, you need to do them here for us. This is the height of sinful arrogance to demand that God fulfill his word on your timetable or in your sight. For these people here in exile, God's words were true whether they saw the fulfillment of them or not. Yet they dismissed God's words as nonsense, as the babblings of a fool named Ezekiel. Think of all that. Ezekiel does all these crazy things. He says all these crazy things, but nothing ever happens. Don't worry about what he has to say. People reject God's word, and in doing so, they impugn God's character, character of his word, and the character of his messengers. And as they do it, they instead prefer to listen to smooth, deceitful talk rather than what God has to say. Look there in verse number 24, after the Lord tells Ezekiel that he is going to put an end to this saying. I'm going to shut them up, he says. And the Lord says one of the ways he's going to do that is by taking away the false visions that they're seeing, false prophets that are there. Verse 24 says, there shall be no more any false vision or flattering divination within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord. I will speak a word that I will speak, and it will be performed. It will no longer be delayed, but in your days, O house of Israel, I will speak a word and perform it, declares the Lord God. The Lord wants Ezekiel to preach this message, not just that I am going to fulfill my word, but I also want you to know, Israelites there in exile, that all these people that you have been listening to, who have been telling you what you want to hear, I'm going to destroy them as well. See there where it says the flattering divinations, these flattering prophecies of all's going to be well with you. This idea of flattery is smooth words. It's a picturesque kind of language that the people don't want to hear. The harsh words of Ezekiel, that's hard to drink in. That's hard to take a sip of and swallow it. But the words of these false prophets, these words of a false hope, the Lord says, even though now they may be like a smooth drink that slides down into the belly of a drunkard, that may taste smooth at the moment, but there is bitterness there. See, there will always be those who will flatter us in our human so-called goodness. These flatterers were not just there in Ezekiel's day, but we're even warned about them in the New Testament. As Peter writes to God's people, he says, you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the command of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last day with scoffings, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Sound familiar? Sound like the proverb that we heard here that the Lord said, the days grow long and every vision comes to nothing. Where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. This is nothing new. Myriads upon myriads of people will drink in this foolishness and yet call it wisdom. Call it a proverb. How long will this go on for? Well, like in Ezekiel's day, it will go on until the Lord himself ultimately silences it by fulfilling his promises. See, these people who are coming with this proverb again are confusing God's patience and saying, well, God's not patient. God's just unable to do what he says he's going to do. What are this evening? Do you think that way? Are you taking God's patience with you and your sinfulness and saying, I'm just going to keep on sinning because I don't see any proof that God's actually going to punish this? Know this evening that God's word is full of promises, and he keeps every single one of them. All promises of judgment and salvation the Lord keeps. Ultimately, unbelievers will know that they are the ones who have been spewing nonsense. Right now, as Ezekiel is speaking, it looks like he's the one who's speaking nonsense. But the time will come in a short time in Ezekiel's life when it will be confirmed that no, he was not the one speaking nonsense, but everybody else around him was. Hope this evening, if you are a true child of God, that this gives you some sense of encouragement, even some sense of being able to understand the world you live in and understand why so many people would think you are an absolute fool. It's because their foolish hearts are darkened. It's because they consider anything that you say to be nonsense. I just beg you and encourage you to think, even this evening as a believer, don't try to take away that truth. Don't think that you are going to be the one who's going to speak God's word, and every time you speak it, there's not going to be anybody who thinks it's utter nonsense. Because that is not the world that we live in. And as we understand this, we should confidently trust God's word until it is fulfilled and proclaim it. This first proverb has dealt with people rejecting God's word and just calling it foolishness. Oh, we've been hearing this forever and nothing ever comes from it. These are empty, vain words. But the Lord also has another proverb that he wants Ezekiel to call out. Verse 26 says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he sees is for many days from now. And he prophesies of times far off." This is a different proverb. The first one just outright denies God's words. The second proverb is a little bit more sinister because it gives lip service to God's word. It doesn't call into question whether God is going to do what he says he's going to do. Notice what it says. The vision that he says is for many days from now. They're not saying God's not going to fulfill his word. But they are saying, God's word doesn't apply to me. Notice the two different groups of people here. We could say in verses 21 to 25, these are just outright arrogant unbelievers. God, he can't fulfill his word. He's not going to. Look how long it's been. There's no way he's going to do that. We reject what God has said. But yet the second group of people that dismisses God's word, that ridicules the truth of God's word, they do it. And yet they supposedly believe some of God's word. But yet because they will not apply it to themselves, rather than just simply being outright unbelievers, we could call them carnally secure, supposed believers. See, what they do is they deny the word's application to their lives. They're willing to say that, yes, these words have application, but it's all for somebody else. And here they're saying, well, this vision, it's a long ways from now. He prophesies of times far off. We don't really need to do anything about this because the fulfillment of it isn't going to come for many years. It doesn't affect me in my life right now. So why should I continue to listen? These verses demonstrate that there are many ways to despise and reject God's word. It could be outright denial, or it could be diverting God's message to other times, other places, other people. You see, those who were saying this, the exiles who were saying this, thought the prophecy simply concerned a future time, but not theirs. I wonder this evening, when you speak scripture, is it always about how it applies to somebody else?
As you read God's word,
are you quick to find where this person that I know, they need to read this. This would apply to them well. Or this group of people over there, I'm in this group, this passage isn't for me, but for this people, these people over here, they need this.
So even those who are true believers can at times dismiss God's word as irrelevant by pushing its application onto other people.
But yet those who live lives of true repentance apply God's words daily to themselves. The Lord says in verse 28, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer, but I will speak, but the word that I speak will be performed, declares the Lord. I wonder this evening, do you dismiss God's word as irrelevant in your life? Not just simply by not applying it to you, but even like these individuals in this passage think, well, right now, what they're saying is there's different problems. I know the problem that Ezekiel's talking about, but that's so far in the future. We won't worry ourselves of that. Let's just deal with the problems right here in front of us. And think about for the exiles. I'm sure that there were many problems. They have been uprooted from their homes and from their lives. Here they are, plopped down by the Kabar Canal. Think about the economic struggles, the moral struggles, the family struggles, all these different struggles that are there, and they could be saying to themselves, these are the things we really need to deal with right now. See, we can dismiss God's word as irrelevant by outright saying, well, that applies to another time. But also just how we live our daily lives. Ask yourself a question. What do you spend more time in on a daily basis? The Word of God? Or you fill in the blank with whatever else you choose to read? Social media, blog posts, political talk shows. For you, do you have this incessant desire or need? I've got to keep up on all of these other things. But when it comes to staying in the Word, that's not as important. These things are what are ultimately truly important for my life right now. Say, well, you don't understand, Pastor Scott. There are all of these political issues going on right now. And if we don't solve them, we're going to be in so much trouble. And you can spend all of your time thinking about all of those. And the Lord comes to you and he says, no, these are the things that are truly important. And you push them aside and say, well, that's for another time. We've really got to deal with these issues over here. Do you not see how we can do the same thing? We can tell God, oh, yes, your word's true, but I'm going to push that truth aside because I don't see it affecting me right now. But this over here, I see this as being a bigger problem. Let's deal with this right now. Do you simply give lip service to the word of God? Or does it truly affect your heart? Does it drive you to obedience? Believer, this evening, whatever the false proverb that is being thrown around you that would call into question God and his word, and there are so many more that we could mention this evening. I hope that as we've looked at this passage of scripture and we see what the Lord tells Ezekiel, I am going to fulfill my word, that if you are a believer this evening, that you will take courage and you will continue to proclaim God's word, looking forward to its fulfillment. This evening, maybe you are not truly a believer. Maybe you're here and you are one who is actually ridiculing God's word by questioning God. I know God says that he punishes all rebellion, but I've been living in rebellion for quite some time and nothing's changed. God's word here is a testimony to you that he will fulfill his word. Repent and believe today. Repent and trust
in the finished work of Christ on the cross today. May those who are God's people, even as those around us, ridicule his word. May we, by his grace, consider the truths that we've seen tonight and ask God for the grace to go forward this week, not dismissing God's word, but by his grace, proclaiming its truth and living out its truth until its fulfillment. Let's pray together.